as they mentioned, this one is on missions. I liked what Sunil did the other day and gave a little bit of introduction because we realize there are several new people here at camp this year. So, as they mentioned, my name is Fred Scott. I took care of beef cows most of my life, and then the Lord retired me. In the last 10 years or so, I've been working with Team Workers Abroad, which is a mission organization. We'll throw in an occasional comment about that. My object is actually missions itself and not just about team workers. And we have trained up 5 kids, 3 of which are at camp, and the other 2 are busy serving the Lord, so they can't get here. So I think that covers it. Sometimes I'm in Wisconsin. That's where the government thinks I live. The rest of the time I've traveled. So we're on the road quite often. All right, talking about missions, one of the things here, let's see what we can do. Is this go? Yep. One of the things I know that's very interesting, I lost my mic. That is the problem with T-shirts. People look at me and say, I've never seen you in a T-shirt. I only wear T-shirts at Turkey Hill. Typically, I wear a broadcloth, you know, collar buttoned up. I find them just as cool and as good. Anyway, the idea of a missionary I find interesting because, you know, you do the quick, with our internet, a quick search and then go on to dictionary.com and you get this neat little definition of dictionary. But what I found most interesting, I'll learn not to do that. Okay, let's try something different. There's nobody back there. Well, I was going to change where I put the thing. If I change it too much, either you won't hear me or it'll be too loud. Take the cord around the back. I'll take any help. You have to remember that I'm an immigrant to the technology age.
Try that.
Okay. I read a book once on that, and anybody born before about 1980 is an immigrant into the technology age, and therefore, we're like every immigrant. We've got to learn everything, including the language and how to handle it. People like my son sitting back here just squeaked over the line, and he is better than any of the rest of the kids on the technology. I really believe it's true. It breaks right there. Anyway, back to missionary. What I found fascinating about this is the timeline on this. The word missions, the word of missionary, is a fairly young word as far as our language goes. It just goes back a few hundred years. And the other interesting one here is it kind of originates with the Jesuits. So we're sending people out, and I could talk along about that, but we're going to skip over most of that. One of the first things I want to talk about with missions is to have a good understanding of the God that we serve. Good thing that was over my... Not really. That is interesting how that... Doesn't matter what we do, it comes off. I know, it's my broad chest. That's what's doing it. All right. I want to talk about the God that we serve, and I want some interaction on some of this to help you think up. In other words, I sit down and I think through some things, but you may have some other good illustrations out of the Bible. What kind of a God do we serve? What is he like? So let's we'll start us out, and I'll say, let us go back to the beginning. What do we find God do as soon as there was sin? This is interaction, people.
He made a covering,
but before that,
he went looking for him,
didn't he? Adam sinned, he's standing over there hiding behind a bush, and God says, where are you? God was looking for them. So, now that we got you started, what's another illustration of God looking for people? Trying to reach out to people.
Sending others to help.
Sending some out. Okay. Let's go back into history again. We've got a lot of Old Testament we can deal with. What about the nation of Israel? What was the purpose of the nation of Israel? Was it just to give us illustrations of all the bad things in life we can do? No. What was the purpose of Israel?
God seeks us,
okay. How was he going to do that, though? He was going to do that by making them a kingdom of priests. That whole nation was supposed to be priests. To who? To the whole world. Now, think about that a little more. Where did God put Israel? And I'll make that statement. Israel didn't just kind of throw up a coin and say, well, let's throw them over here in the Middle East somewhere. You know, why didn't he pick Europe? Why didn't he pick Africa? Why did he put them there? Anybody know their geography?
It's the junction of three continents.
It's the junction of three continents. What happened to all the trade routes? Everybody coming from Asia went through Israel to get to Europe, to get to Rome, to get to Greece. They would go through from north to south. Remember, Egypt had all the horses. Keith brought that up the other day with Solomon. They had all the horses, so the horses came in from the south. Where'd they go? They went through Israel. So what happens if you have a people that are serving God in the middle of everything? Everybody gets to hear about God, about their God, and they would know that. So that is one of the things that God does. In other words, he has put these people there for a purpose. Now, we will grant you, they were men, and they failed. But that was why God was putting them there, because he wanted to reach out to the people of the world. Now, we have some other illustrations along. Can you think of some illustrations, let's say, out of the Old Testament, of how God was reaching out to the nations? Very good. The obvious illustration. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, wasn't he? He was sent out there because God had a heart for these people. Now, I actually walked up here without my Bible, if I could get that. I was more interested in making sure the PowerPoint worked than I was my Bible, of all things. All right. I really had references for all these, but let's look at Jonah, since we're to that point. If you can find Jonah in your Bible, not too far after the major prophets. And go to verse 1. Or no, chapter 1, I mean. And verse 2. So what does God's concern in Jonah 1, 2? The wickedness of Nineveh. All right, God was concerned about sin in the world, in particular, this particular nation. And we see his care and desire for that. Let's go over to chapter 3. And this is I'm trying to think. I forgot to check on who was speaking here. I think this is the king speaking. What does the king say? Somebody read 4 or 9 and 10 for us. Some man.
Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. He did it not.
Very good. So God turned from what he had told them he would do because
They had repented. We always need to remember that as we go about. The part of the reason we want to tell people about God and about their position before God is so that they might repent. You know, God, we sometimes, and particularly the world, looks at it as God is a God that is constantly trying to take his big stick and hit us, or he wants to bring judgment on us, or he sends all these wars for these people. God is a God who seeks out the sinner. And he passes judgment because he has to, because he is a just and righteous God, and he must judge sin. But he doesn't like to do that, if I could put it that way. He loves us. Well, we get that with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his son, because he wants us to know that he loves us. So God is a God that is constantly reaching out. Now, just to give you one more thought as we think about the Old Testament. As we go into different passages, and let's go to Isaiah 13. And this is just something, as I was reading through the other day, I saw it, and it reminded me of the heart of God. What do we have here? 13:1. Somebody would read that. Okay, why is Isaiah going to talk about Babylon? Now, if you read through the chapter, it's kind of like, okay, these terrible things are going to happen to you. Why did God write that down? Why did God have Isaiah say that? This goes back to what I just said. What do you think? God wanted them to change. God was seeking for Babylon to change. And to me, that is what you find in a lot of this. As you go through Isaiah, there's whole passages. All right, here's Babylon. Here's Assyria. Here's this people. Here is that people. And he says, I'm going to have to send this judgment upon you. But if they would repent, God would change. He would let them come to him. So we need to remember these things. And of course, as we look at this, and we think obviously of the fact that Christ was sent into this world. Let's look up another passage. I always like to get into the Word of God and not just stand up here and make these statements. I want you to find them in the Bible yourself. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Why did Christ come into the world? You probably all know this one. Verse 15. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? To save sinners. Okay. Here again, we see God reaching out to those who are sinners. And he wants to do that. Now, we get down to, after having laid all of this, let's get down to the point of where we are going. 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6. Oops, wrong direction on that one. 1 John 2:6. What does this tell us? Our responsibility is to a God who reaches out.
He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
Very good. So what's our responsibility? What's that?
To imitate him.
Now, if we're going to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He left heaven to come down here to tell us about his Father. And so that is my encouragement, is we need to take and understand what God is like, and we need to imitate him. To go out, to talk to people. And the idea of missions is not just, you know, everybody has to go out to the foreign field. That's not my point. My point is, each of us need to be reaching out where we are at and where God has put us. Now, some people are going to go to a different type of people. They may be different for various reasons. We may talk about race might be a reason. It might be just because of location. It may be because of heat or cold, that they're different, and we need to be able to take the gospel. Some people will go that way, and some need to stay back, and it is very important for us to understand that. All right. So, when do we start to reach out in life? As soon as we're saved, we like to reach out. We like to have people reach out. Now, let me give you an illustration of a young person that would reach out. There's a girl at this camp who's now about this tall. When she was 4 years old, she was saved. She was with her dad in the Bahamas. He's a preacher. And at the assembly that he was preaching in, they have a ministry with what is called the Haven. It's kind of a drug rehab place, okay? You get the idea what kind of guys these are? These are guys that are druggies, they've been alcoholics. They're trying to change their lives. You know what her statement was? Dad, can I sit back there with those men because they need to hear of Jesus Christ? 4 years old. As grandparents, we pray for her that she never loses her zeal. Sorry, touched my heart and I didn't expect it. We need to reach them when they're young. We need to start out at a different time. We need to start out in middle age, or actually as young people. Now, if you look real close at this, you're supposed to recognize one of these people. These are my daughters, and they came to me, came to the elders and said, we want to go see this lady on the right. She was a girl that grew up in our assembly, had been part of, was a youth leader, and then she went to the Philippines for 2 years. And they said, we would like to go see her. Naomi was, I think she just graduated from high school. And her sister's 2 years behind her. Here's a young person that is encouraging missions by saying, can I go see a missionary? And I put that up there with just the idea of needing to reach out to sometimes encourage other people to go. And sometimes you find people that have to go along. One time I was younger looking, okay? All right. Just to give you some other examples. By being on Team Workers, I have been able to see many things. Here's a young man that I met down in Chile. It's working on 2 years ago now. And now it's a year and a half ago. Young man. He was actually down visiting his sister there, and we were working, doing some work with the assembly. And he was helping us out, spent the couple of weeks helping us. He had real interest in, you know, doing that kind of work, helping out. And so this last year, I wrote him and said, hey, I'm going to go into Peru. Would you like to join me? You know what his reply was? I'm sorry. I can't do that. I'm going to Ecuador to help with DBS. The idea of missions is being seen by people that are overseas. Here's another fellow. I met him in Colombia. It was several years ago now. probably 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was. And since then, we've kept in contact. Occasionally, he'll send me a letter as he lets people know what's going on in his life. He's gotten married, and he and his wife now have moved into a different area of Columbia to reach out to teach Bible studies. And this is just great to see. Young people can get involved in this. As I mentioned, middle-aged people can get involved. Here's the father and son that went with us. Whoops, didn't move. Try that one. See if we recognize this one. We can go on mission trips as middle-aged people. Take time off from work. Matt has his own business. It's a commitment for him to come off and help out. Or we can do like this. And I pull this one up not so much for the middle-aged guy, but for the older fellow. Sometimes we like to think, oh, things are going to quit when I retire. I tell you what, I've retired for several years now. You can get tremendously busy if you want to do the Lord's work. There's plenty of work to do. This man, I keep referring to them as older men. They're about 3 years older than I am now. He was, I don't know, 72, 75, something in that range. He came down to help out, and he would, his wife made us promise not to let him up on the roof. You know, don't let him on a ladder. Okay, we agreed with that. Worked till the last day. But, you know, he was a tremendous help. Sometimes you think, oh, I can't do anything. You know what he was doing? He was mixing cement. Garth would crawl up on the ladders and put it in place. He'd bring the buckets of mortar to him for him to do that. He and I were putting up sheets of roofing onto the roof we were putting on. There's just so many things that he could do as an older person. Or we can do it like this. It's another older fellow, about 75 again. He's an electrician all of his life, and he's been in a lot of places on the mission field. Many more places than I have been. But he's an electrician, comes in and puts in the wiring, gets it correct. All right. So the idea is start where you're at to work for missions. In other words, we don't have to wait until we're old. We don't have to say, oh, I missed it. I didn't go out on the mission field when I'm young. Jump in where you're at right now, at the age that you are. All right. How do we encourage missions in our homes and in the assemblies? A lot of these things are, you know, just kind of back and forth. What are some ways that we can encourage missions? Again, think up some answers here. Don't let me give you all of them. Very good. Communicate with the missionaries. I like that word, communicate. Used to be write letters. It isn't that way nowadays, is it? We want to communicate with a missionary. We can get on email. We can get on, we call it Skype. There's a lot of different ways, but that's one of the common ones. I know my assembly, of which Joel and Andy work out of, occasionally they will make an appointment with the missionary and they gather the whole assembly around the computer, if I'm right, okay, and they sit and they chat with the missionary. It's very important for them to have some connection back and forth to understand what's going on. What's some other ways? Good. Missions publications. So what would that be? What are some mission publications that we have? I have examples up here. Missions magazine. Okay. Prayer handbook. Where'd it go? Here it is here. These are things that CMML sent to me free. I'll save a few copies for another week, but you're welcome to take some of these things. The Missionary Prayer Handbook. What else can we do as far as missions and promoting things to read? Yeah. Very good. I'm just afraid I was going to have to promote that one. Missionary biographies. Okay, that's a good one, particularly in the families. May not do it so much in the local assembly, but in your family, read biographies. Be challenged by those things. We were out at, our daughter Tammy's out on the West Coast April and May. And she was reading through with her family a book called Evidence Not Seen by Darlene Diebler Rose. Anybody here ever hear of her? Andy has. Okay, you have. Good. Very interesting lady. Not very long after she got married, she went with her husband to, was it China? Is that correct? No. Where'd she go? Oh, she was down in Dutch New Guinea to start with. And guess what? About 1939, the Japanese came in and they put her in the prison camp. Her husband in a different place. Eventually he died. Her never seen him again. He was a nurse and she was doing various things in the camp. And the Lord worked in many areas of her life. It's a great biography to read. She was 23. That's a challenge. Real challenge. Read biographies. We've got the Missionary Prayer Handbook. What else can we do to encourage missions?
Support missionaries as a family and a church.
Support missionaries as a family and as a church. Okay. In other words, we need to get to know them. In other words, understand who they are. Find out how many kids they have. What are the ages of the kids? For a family, oftentimes we encourage you getting a missionary family that has kids about the same age as yours. Okay? So if you are in the younger part of life, so they have some younger kids. If they have some, you know, back in the old days, we had pen pals. You would write letters back and forth. You can think about sending packages to them as a family. Say, oh, what do you need? But don't forget, you need to send it about October for their Christmas, okay? And we have done that once or twice. And we sent it about October. And about October the next year, it showed it back up at our house. It took the post office that long to get it rejected. They don't always get through. The post office in other countries is not near as good. That's why if it's really important, you basically ask somebody to carry it in for you. All right, so we can support missionaries, and we can support missionaries in our local assembly. We can work with it that way. And I would suggest that you work with somebody that is going to be kind of close to your area. Well, one of the things I like of the assembly that I am from is that we support missionaries from Iowa for the most part. Because when they come home, they don't have to travel halfway across the country to come tell us what's going on. Because we're interested in seeing them and knowing what they're doing. So pick somebody somewhat local, if you haven't set one out from your own assembly. Let me see here. What else can we do?
There's organizations like Operation World Joshua Project that give you the statistics of different countries where these missionaries are. You could know how better to pray for them in some ways if you're not contacting them.
Very good. If you haven't had direct contact with them, you can. There are organizations, there are books out. Learn something about the country. One of the places I have been and often shows up in my presentations about team workers. We went to Serbia. Can you tell me where Serbia is?
It's in Central Europe.
Very good. Here's a wise man. I suspect you've been following your missionaries. To Serbia. I've had various people say, is that in Africa? It's not. It's over in Western Europe, basically, for us old people. It's the old Yugoslavia Empire that got broken up into about four different countries, okay? We need to know some of these things. Where is this person from? So, and I've heard other missionaries have the same problem. They're coming back and talking. People have no idea where they're from. Okay, get to know these people a little bit. Understand who they are, where they operate. And then there's the particular things about that culture. In other words, we've been friends with a missionary family that served in amongst what you and I would call the Eskimos up in Alaska. Okay? It's a different environment than where they are now, which is in Northern Africa. What are the differences? How does it affect them? I'll tell you one thing about that particular person. He has a lot of asthma. That was the nice thing about going to Alaska. Didn't have to worry about all those summer things coming through and getting, you know, filled up from all the asthmas and the other such things. Africa, need to pray about that because, you know, all that sand and dust and dry is difficult for him. But that's where the Lord has called him to, and he is serving there. All right, how else, particularly as an assembly, but sometimes as an individual, how else can we think or learn and encourage missions? Problem with long lists is that you have to think a while, a little bit more.
One of the questions here is, how can I help a guide an individual to be a missionary? And I think that the local assembly, the elders and so forth, need to really evaluate that person, how sound they are in doctrine and so forth, that they're going to represent the Word of God to the people and so forth.
Okay, I'm going to try to repeat part of that for the recording. But the idea is, yes, if a person is going to go out, the elders need to evaluate the person, see what they're like. We want to touch more on that in a little bit. I'm talking about encouraging, I mean, that's more of a how do we do this type thing, send them out, all right? Let's go back to how else can we just encourage missions in general? Okay. Teaches it is part of the Christian ministry. Now, what are some ways we can do that? You ever thought of having a missionary conference? Have a missionary conference. Find out who is around and have them come in and speak. The last several years, I've spent kind of when I'm home, let's put it that way, in Westby, Wisconsin. One of the joys of watching the assembly last year had their first missionary conference. This year they had their second missionary conference. And the Lord brought some great people in, just the people that were needed there, okay, as far as missionaries, to touch the hearts of the people. The elders are wanting to encourage mission. They've done a lot of things in the last few years. But to have a missionary conference, and that isn't something that, you know, you don't have to sit around and wait for the elders to come up with the idea. Say, hey, elder, how about let's have a missionary conference? And, you know, the first thing, well, who would come? Well, find out somebody that can come. I guess I enjoy it. I'm sorry it points to me, but when we were organizing our first one, I thought, well, it'd be nice to have Jim Fleming down. I call him up, expecting to get a secretary. I say, you know, I'm going to say, what is his schedule? You know, when can I talk to him? What would he do something? She says, oh, he's in the office today. If you know Jim Fleming, he's not often in the office. Okay, this is the God thing. So they put me through to Jim. I said, Jim, we want to have a conference over here in the first weekend of March, I think it was. And he says, oh, let me look. Well, I'm free that weekend. Can you believe that? I mean, we're a month or two out, and Jim is scheduled, okay? He says, I'm free. And so we had Jim Fleming, of all people, to come to our first missionary conference and laid a base of mission. Now, you may not have that advantage. I just know the hand of God was on that one. I don't know why it happened. But ask. You never know what the Lord will do. So have a missionary conference. Have them in. Have them talk about their work in that, and talk about some of these people and give you a wide range of what's going on, not just what's in their particular area. All right. Forgotten what this was. Oh! This favorite picture. What else can we do to help missionaries? Is go visit a missionary. Don't sit at home. This is in Serbia. Okay? Guess what she's doing? She's playing grandma. Very simple. Playing grandma. Okay? What it was is we got home before they did, before the parents did, from the Sunday morning meeting. But you're playing grandma. You know why? His folks get there maybe once, maybe twice a year. Her dad might show up, but her mother will not fly. So the only time they're going to see her mother as a grandparent is when they come back to the States. They need fellowship. And it's encouraging. And particularly, I have learned that we need to encourage the wives of the missionaries. She made a statement to my wife that I just love to quote, because she says, it was so good of you to come because you think in English. It's lonely out there. And if you ever take a vacation, you say, oh, I'm going to Europe, or I'm going to go see this, or I'm going to go see that. Dig out a handbook and find out where a missionary is and go see him. Just spend a day with him, and they will be so encouraged, okay? I want to encourage you to be with missionaries, help missionaries. Then, of course, we can have, whoops. It's something I didn't want. Let's go with that. Okay. Then, we get down to things like Team Workers Abroad. There are short-term trips that you can take. And for Team Workers, people often ask me, what is it? And I say, it's 2 weeks. We try to make it 2 weeks. So that if you have 2 weeks of vacation, want to use them that way, you can do so. If we get a good-sized team together, man has been on a team like this, where you have 10 or 12 guys, you can get an awful lot done in 2 weeks. It's a great way to do that. It gets you introduced. It gets you involved with a particular missionary. I remember the first time we went it was to Mexico. And about a year later, the assembly where I go said, oh, we've got a little extra money here. We remember hearing about the place you were at. Do they need some more money? Yeah, they do. Okay, let's send it there. Okay, why did they do that? Because I had been to that country, and they had now heard of the work of that particular missionary who wanted support. And so that's what happens with short terms. You become involved with different ones. Somebody was making a comment about this magazine. Here again, it's something that is kind of close to my heart because it came out of Westby. There's a lot of things, fingers of God, in this whole process. But this is an article by Phil Parsons. It went down just recently to the eastern side of Paraguay. This is a man here. He was a very young man when his tribe came out of the jungle. I mean, we're talking out of the jungle. They taught them how to wear clothes, okay? Jungle. They now have
satellite dishes on the side of their houses. You try to figure out how to get from hunting and gathering to satellite dishes in 40 years. That's a tough one. But they also, you know, the neat thing is that this particular tribe, a lot of them became Christians. And it has affected how everything works. In other words, the other tribes say, how come they're so rich? It's because they've been following Christian principles. I could go on and on about that, but we'll try to avoid that. Get involved. In other words, I know that guy. I've seen him. I have talked to him. Okay? We know these people. And it just affects your life as you get to know different ones. I get to see, just as we return places, we get to see many things the Lord is doing. And one other thing, just to throw out, if you're trying to support missions, somebody wants to go on a trip like that, not everybody can afford it. Think about that. Perhaps they are young, don't have all sorts of resources. Perhaps they're old and don't have many resources. Some people live on Social Security alone. They do fine, but, you know, it's costly to go overseas. Send them. Be involved in missions. All right. Now let's talk about just a few minutes here on what I would say developing a missionary mindset in your chapel. We've talked about some of these. So what are some of the ways we can do that? This is kind of a review type thing. How can we get a missionary mindset in your chapel? Covered some of these. Come on, folks. We covered some of these.
An easy way is read the prayer letters in the prayer meeting.
Okay. Very good. Read the prayer letters in the prayer meeting. And how do you get to do that? You got to get on the prayer letter list, don't you? Okay. And you can do that by finding out or have missionaries come through. One of the advantages of this magazine, I encourage you to get a hold of it. In fact, there is a card laying here. If you do not receive this magazine, fill it out, sign up, and they will send it to you. Doesn't cost anything. But you notice if you go back here on the back, usually it's the back page, and they will tell you who is in the United States or when they are coming back to the United States. I don't see it right here in this one. Amongst other things, they tell you some changes and so forth. But they'll say, these people are coming back. If you don't know some missionaries, write them. Obviously get permission from your elders to do so. But I remember when I was younger that I talked to the elders and said, could we have a few more missionaries in? And so I would look at a list like this and I'd say, okay, are you coming through the Midwest? If they are, then would you mind stopping by Iowa? And we've caught several that way. One of the fellows, actually the one I was with in Serbia one time, I wrote him. He had many relatives in Michigan. He lives in Montana. Guess where he's going? He comes down around Lake Michigan and right across Iowa. Stop in. Tell us about the work that you're doing. So those are some things we can do, is to have these missionaries in. We can talk to them. We can pray for them. And then I would say, be careful that you support a few. Get to know someone real well. In other words, don't make the mistake of supporting everybody that came through. When I was in college, and that was in a different denominational church, and they had their own mission organizations and so forth, they would send people through. Now, I will grant you it was a lot of years ago. I'm getting old, okay? It was about 50 years ago that they were doing this. But they had a lot of missionaries come through there. It was a great place to get to meet missionaries and to get a wide understanding of what it was. But to me, the mistake that they made was they would give every missionary that came $25, not just for the speaking, but that they might support him for $25.
Well, $25 even then didn't go very far, okay? And what it caused the missionary to do was to go here and here and here and here and here. And by the end of their furlough, they're going, that was no rest. Encourage them, support them at a greater amount, and then support them to stay there with you. If you would go to, let's see, I thought I had that written down, but I don't. That is probably for tomorrow's teaching. Well, we'll pick it up tomorrow. But the idea is don't support everybody that comes by. It's good to hear the word. And obviously, help them where they're at the moment. But get to know someone, get behind them, stay with them, learn of the work that there is involved. All right, so we have talked about our God, that is the God that seeks to reach out to the world. And if we're going to be like Him, we need to reach out. We've been talking about some ideas of how to do that. Some in your family, how do you reach out as a family? Do some reading, do some praying, do some contacting, and become involved in the lives of missionaries. It will change your life. And then as an assembly, encourage those around you to learn about missions, to get involved, have conferences, have missionaries in, become involved in their lives. One of those things that I like to, I remember a story I read a long time ago, and it was entitled, I Am Selfish. Started out saying there, I was selfish. It was written by a lady, incidentally. She says, I was selfish. Every time that they suggested that somebody was coming to town and they should keep them, I would say, oh, not in my house. You know, I would have to clean it up and I would have to do too many things. And no, I'm just not. I was selfish. Just finally one day I had a missionary in my home. She says, I'm still selfish. Every time a missionary comes through, I want them in my house because they've had such an impact on me. So let's close with a word of prayer, and we'll pick it up from there tomorrow. Father, indeed, we do thank you that you are a God who reaches out to the world, and you have reached out to us, and you have touched our lives. And Father, we would ask that you might continue to work in our lives and help us to see the world as you see the world. Help us to see how we can reach out and touch other lives also. For we would ask in Jesus' name, amen.